There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. And for just a second here, I'm going to throw a new idea at you. We'll get to my buddy Cal Hamrick from Lanyap in 1 second. If you could pull off like a Easter egg hunt, but the Easter eggs were like junk you had to get rid of. You hid that around the house there, and then the people could go home with the junk you didn't want. That might be a way to get rid of junk. But if that doesn't work this Easter, do get your spring cleaning going the right way with my man Trey and 1-800-GOT-JUNK. So if you can't pull off some kind of Easter egg, take my junk and leave with it idea, then give him a call. The name is the number, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. You want to do the online thing, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. But you got rooms full, attics full, garage full of junk, storage unit full of junk. It's your office, your shop full of junk. As Trey reminds me, big things outside your house you want to get rid of. You got the giant swing set in the backyard. Your youngest child's in their 30s. Maybe let it go. It could be the big trampolines, above ground pools, storage building, and they can tackle those jobs as well. So you got junk. You want it gone. Go ahead and make an appointment and get it gone. And it's very easy to make the appointment because, as I've said many, many times here, it's not this, they'll be there sometime between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. No, when you call, they're going to find the day that works for you, time that works for you, and set a good old-fashioned appointment. So junk, you've got it in your way. It's in your life. And short of some kind of Easter miracle, you're going to have to take charge of getting it gone. So do it. And contact them on the phone, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or on the web, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. All right, without further delay, it's my man Kyle at Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. How about it? You ready for a big Easter weekend?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've planted the eggs in various places all around the house. We couldn't do as many as we normally do because of the economy. We had to paint some potatoes to shore up the eggs that we couldn't afford. But yeah, we're ready for it. We're absolutely ready.
You know, as fun as when you get to my age, you can actually hide your own Easter eggs. You forget so much, you can hide them, and then it's like going to be a surprise when you go look for them.
Absolutely, absolutely. And could be an expensive surprise, too, when they have to cut into your wall to pull them out.
Just could be a smelly surprise. All right, lots to talk about.
Happy Easter.
Yeah, happy Easter. Easter tidings from Gal. Several stories you want to get into, but lead off here, something you and I have talked about many times just over the last couple months here, about the PSC and what's happening here in Montgomery in the waning days of session. Y'all, I'm going to read Kyle's sentence here, and we'll lead off that way. First sentence in the story, a significantly altered version of legislation. Y'all pay attention to the words. A significantly altered version of legislation to reform the Alabama Public Service Commission earned enough votes to become law this week, despite a call to vote against it from the lawmaker who originally proposed the measure. It's a hell of a lead in there, Kyle.
Well, thank you.
Nice. Yeah, those words all mean something. So let's break down what those words mean. First of all, the altered version. I mean, it's gone through some changes here.
Yes. The bill that Mac Butler from the northeastern part of the state first put up really just wanted to make the Public Service Commission hold formal rate case hearings with the power company and others to make them justify their cost of doing business, justify folks' power bills. But this this week, when it got up to the Senate, they combined the so-called Power to the People Act with it and got rid of the whole rate case hearings completely. So the bill that...
Which was like a major... If we're standing up this table, I don't know if it's tripod or quad, but I mean, it's a significant leg to this thing, and this is out now.
Right. That's out. Well, it's really like you built the table and you chopped all of the legs off and put some brand new legs on it that were made of like pasta.
It's a better analogy.
And that's what we've got here. So the Power to the People Act, folks might not recall that. That basically, you know, boosts the Public Service Commission up from 3 members to 7, creates the Secretary of Energy role that would oversee the operations of the commission. That's basically what it would do there. So they took Mac Butler's bill, pulled all the innards out, and put the Power to the People Act in there, with the addition that they could have a formal public hearing. But if you want to do that, you have to get 5 of the commissioners to vote for it or the Secretary of Energy to say that we need it. So, I mean, it's definitely different than the one that you unanimously got through the House.
Mm-hmm.
But that didn't stop the House from voting for it yesterday afternoon. It went after it got through the Senate with all the changes. It, of course, had to go back to the House for the House to, you know, vote on if they want to take those changes or not. Mac Butler jumped up and said, this is not the bill that I put forth. It is very different. I'm not going to vote for it, and the rest of us should not. We should throw it out back to the Senate. The House decided not to do that, and they voted like somewhere between I don't remember the exact numbers here, but like 70-something to 20-something to pass it on to Governor Ivey, who could sign it as soon as she gets out of the hospital.
Yeah, well, and let's talk. I mean, words mean something. And if you – this is the problem, yes, right? Because people hear, well, oh, they're doing something and they're going to put more members of the PSC. You know, but the problem is you could have 435 members of the PSC. And this is the wording is important. The bill no longer includes rate case hearings, but like you said, you can have vote to have a formal hearing into rate making process. I'm worried a lot about semantics here. I mean,
they are important.
So I mean, what is it like in regular people language? So a rate case hearing, you can open the books, but they're not. That's not there anymore. But a formal hearing can be called for the rate-making process. I know I'm getting screwed somehow. I just don't know what all the words mean.
Yeah. Well, the rate case hearing is always like a courtroom proceeding. It's got sworn testimony. The power company, the gas company, whoever would have to open up their books under oath and testify to why they charge what they charge and how much money they've gotten in. This formal hearing in the new law that could be signed soon, it does have some sworn testimony to it. They could choose to swear the people in if they wanted to. It really just seems to me, based off of my reading, to be kind of, you know, like an informational thing. I mean, they could convene a rate case hearing, but the difference here is the original bill that Butler put up called for a specific rate case hearing at least once every 3 years. This one, this new law that we've got, does not have that timeline or that stipulation. They could just do it if they chose to. And don't forget, the Public Service Commission right now has everything that they need to call for a rate case hearing for the power company, but they have chosen not to do so since the 80s.
Yeah, 82. I think the last one of those, 82. Y'all, we had. And y'all, look, I mean, think about what your bills have done. Think about, and this is become big news because it's moving in Montgomery, but listeners of this show know that I've been on this for, and y'all have too, talking about this over Landiap for a long time. This is nothing new, these rates and the fact that the rates are that much higher. And once again, y'all, we're comparing, I think, apples to apples, because you can look across the line in Georgia, right? It's another Southern company, you know, another Southern company subsidiary, and they pay less. So just open your book and tell me why. I have no, you know, I've said this before. Like, if they're spending money on making sure linemen are safe and paying them, that's cool. Infrastructure, those kind of things. We got to have these power lines that get this much energy over there. That's fine. I want to look at those line items. What's the other stuff going for? I think it's fair. And hey, if there's nothing there that's untoward, then okay, well, that sucks. We got higher rates, but let's go.
Yeah. I mean, it's called the public service. Public service is the key aspect of this whole thing here, you know, and, you know, it's, you know, there's nothing wrong with asking folks to open up the books just to show how the sausage is getting made here. It's something that they could do, and hopefully, you know, if this thing gets signed into law, which I think is pretty likely, hopefully, you know, however many of these commissioners get on there, hopefully they decide that this is worth pursuing here. To open these books up, you know, for the public to, you know, see why they're paying what they're paying for their power.
Yeah, but if Governor Ivey signs off on this, it will be at their discretion. There's not going to be, it doesn't really change the teeth they have right now, right?
Right.
It just gets more people on the PSC, and then you have the person in the executive branch, the czar, the energy czar.
That's right. It just... it adds new people, you know, which with more people, you know, you could get some more viewpoints there. That sounds like a neat move, but this is definitely something very different than what was originally put forth. And that was enough to make the guy who came up with it disown it completely.
Yeah.
So that's worth noting.
Yeah, that's why that first sentence, y'all, when you read it, like, the guy that brought the bill said, please don't vote for this bill.
Yes.
Okay.
Disowned it completely.
So they did, by the way, they have gotten budgets done here in the last couple of days. I've been complaining about that forever. But they have also had time. Where do we stand with the Gulf of America bill? Even though, like, this is a federal thing. But the state of Alabama wants to say, or at least people pushing this bill want to say, yeah, us too. Where's the stand?
Well, just before they passed the PSC bill on Tuesday, they voted for the Gulf of America name change bill. This was something that a state representative from Hayden, which is on the line with Blount and Jefferson counties, you know, which is famous for its views of the Gulf. that state lawmaker tried to get a Gulf of America name change through last year after President Trump put out his executive order to do the same, but the bill died in the Senate. This time it did not. It got through the House, got through the Senate, and now the governor also has to sign this one. To make all state and local governments and public bodies change their references to the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America, because this is something that the president and some members of the Republican Party think is worthy of doing.
But it's going to cost. It's going to cost the state money.
Right, but there is something funny in this whole thing here. You know, you don't have to comply with the name change if doing so would create, like, quote, an undue financial burden.
Which is what everybody's going to, it's what everybody's going to claim. I mean, this is
however you choose to define it.
Yeah, so this is another messaging bill that, and I know politicians do this, but it takes up time in the legislative session for a messaging bill that has no teeth. They do this on other things. They're like, they pass the law and pat themselves on the back, but there's no teeth to if you don't do, you know, do what they want.
No, no. It's just to say that the state is in solidarity with the White House on this thing. I think they might have already done it in Florida. I think that happened sometime last year. Not sure if Louisiana and Mississippi have done it yet, or Texas. Maybe Texas did it. It's a contentious issue. The Gulf has been known. I talked to my good friend John Sledge. He said the Gulf has been known by all kinds of different mm-hmm. names. I think the first one was the Chinese Sea, the Sea of China, because the explorers, when they came here at first, thought they were in Asia.
Yep.
So they called it the China Sea. You know, Trump might like that, might not. It's been called all kinds of names, you know, and you know, some folks still call it the Gulf of Mexico. Some folks call it the Gulf of America. We've had some talks at the office, and I think that the body of water south of Mobile could be something to please everyone. Just go to the Gulf and to the large body of salt water that borders this state.
Just wait for somebody to make the bumper sticker, the body of water that is south of Mobile, life, for their car.
Oh, yeah.
Because they have the SF, yeah. Whatever, life.
Shirts, hats. Hats, you might need a magnifying glass to read that print, or just a really big hat. But, you know, I think there's some branding there.
Okay. We're talking money spent here. You have a story. This is pretty cool, though. If people who had... I think most people noticed, I don't know, the murals that were in the Mobile Civic Center, you know, before it was torn down. I remember the stories coming out that they were preserved. So what's happening with this, and what did the council say we're going to spend on keeping these up and moving? Like, what's going on?
Well, you know, we are really making great progress building the arena. We're nearly halfway there. Mayor Spiro wants to get it open well in advance of Mardi Gras in 2027. As part of this process, some of the workers here went to check in on the murals, these two big tile murals from the 60s that depict like a Mardi Gras parade and a circus. Some workers went to check on these things, you know, to get ready to hang them in the arena,
mm-hmm.
and they see that they're not in that great a shape. There's some structural problems there. They're not sure they could hang them up in the new arena in their current form. So now the city council is poised to authorize a contract to pay this firm something of like $67,500 with some expenses thrown in to cut these murals up and to reassemble them in a stronger frame that could keep them from falling to smithereens. That proposal could be voted on next week, but it's folks have been worried about the integrity of these things. They're tile, they're like a mosaic. They're from the 60s, and they're apparently starting to fall apart in some spots, I've been told. So now they're going to try to fix them.
People want to check out this story and a whole lot more. How do they find you online and get signed up?
Go to lanyapmobile.com. And if you have any money left over from your power bill, you need to sign up for a subscription. We have all kinds of good options for you that are power bill friendly. And get to reading, lanyapmobile.com.
Good stuff, Kyle. Happy Easter to you, man. We'll talk soon.
Happy Easter, y'all. See you later.
Coming right back. News is next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 128 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad you're along. And telephone number at the text line, 251-343-0106. Also, let me give you a heads up here. You think about buying a bike, all right? Or you think about buying an e-bike. Think about this. What happens if you order it online and what's supposed to be in there is not in there. Or like people have talked about, you get a box of parts with no real instruction on how to put it together. Well, that's why you go to my buddy Clint Jamison at Adventure Earth Bicycles. Big selection of e-bikes, and he's got them for everything from people want to take them, you know, when they go to the campsite, you know, park the RV, ride around on the e-bike, he's got those. Commuting around town, he's got those. You want to get in the woods like I do with my e-bike, he's got those bikes as well. And they all come assembled and tuned. So not only are they great bike selection there, but when you buy them, you go in the shop there at Little Flower and Airport, the bike's already put together. And not only just put together, they're put together by people who know what they're doing, and they're tuned and ready to go. So if you're looking for your next e-bike, well, check them out. And what he calls the Amish bikes, you can check those out as well at Adventure Earth Bicycle. Online at AdventureEarth.com, Adventure-Earth.com. Adventure Earth Bicycles, everything inside to get you outside. So don't buy a box of parts online. Go see my buddy, a good old-fashioned bike shop at Adventure Earth Bicycles. All right, coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 1:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Friday Eve. It's a good Friday Eve indeed. And check in with my man, Blaine Price from Parrish Tractor. And Blaine, we got a lot to talk about, too. You and I are going to be not just on the telephone, but we're going to be hanging out together, what, a week from tomorrow.
That's right. So next Friday, Sean, here at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale, we'll be having our Orange Days event. Plenty of sales going on that day. Plenty of deals in sales with new equipment, used equipment, parts, service, and our rental department. So definitely come by that day. Check us out. We'll have food we'll be cooking for lunch. So definitely stop by and see us in person.
Is there a chance of getting a hat while we're there?
There is. We've got plenty of the Parrish Tractor hats. And we've also got, I know on new equipment, we've got a coupon code that you'll go on. You'll fill it out, your name, telephone number, address, and your email, and it will email you a coupon. So coupons are good on new equipment and up to $2,000 off some of our new equipment. So definitely take advantage of that right now if you're in the market for, you know, a tractor, a zero turn, side by side, maybe a skid steer or mini excavator. All that will qualify for these coupons. So definitely come by and see us that day.
Yeah, I think we were talking about this last week. I take advantage, too, when I'm there, of parts department, right? So running two different Kubota machines on the farm. So it's a good time for me to get, you know, replacements for the things I break.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we'll have specials on everything as well as our rental equipment for that week and weekend. So come by, check us out. We've got all the steel handhelds in stock at our parts department on our showroom floor as well. So if you're in the market for a new chainsaw, blower, weed eater, whether it be battery powered or gas powered, we've got all that in stock right now.
Okay. Well, we want y'all to come on out and see us a week from tomorrow. But in the meantime, if you want to go out and kind of tour through, where do they find you?
We're right here at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale on Highway 59. You can come by and see us Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturdays, 8 till noon. Visit us online at parrishtractor.com or give us a call, 251-947-4171.
Hey, thanks, Blaine.
Thanks, Sean.
All right. Yeah, we'll be out there coming up a week from tomorrow, so make sure to come by and see us, grab some lunch. And they've got a lot of Kubota goodies, Parrish Tractor goodies. We got FM Talk 106.5 logoed up stuff to give you as well, so put that on the schedule to do. All right, read a couple texts here, but I want to come back to, if y'all didn't hear, the big news, Pam Bondi out as AG. We started the show with that. That broke as the show started. She's out as AG, but we'll get back to that in a second. Sam, why does Alabama Power have so many VPs? I don't know. I don't know, Sam. It's, and this idea, I mean, to go through all the stuff they went through with the PSE bill and leave a critical portion of it out. They make all these other changes. You know, you can flood the zone. Look, we've done this. We've done this. And we're going to hold. The one they're going to hold out is, hey, we've no change in power rates for 3 years. And short term, they'd be like, ah, cool, good. Believe me. Personally, but even more importantly, I think I've told you all before, what it costs to run this radio station just for the power. I'm no data center. I'm no, you know, no data center thing like that. But it's over the last, well, 16 years of the station. May 1st, by the way, coming up, another anniversary for us. But the it's I mean, it's a lot of money. But so a 3-year moratorium, okay, that's fine. That's good. It helps. But do we not? Remember, when you're a utility with a guaranteed profit percentage, right? The deal is, because you don't have to compete in a free marketplace, you're a utility. So we, the people who pay the bills, should be able to see how the bills got totaled up. And I know there's a lot of voices on social media that I think are not well-grounded. They're like, we take all their money away. No. Open the books, and when you're spending money on linemen and equipment and infrastructure and transmission lines and all that thing, I want our state to be the best. I want to have resiliency for the power, right? You shouldn't be worried about opening that book in front of me, because I'm going to say, well, okay, good. That's an operating cost. I get that. You're doing this. Okay. But what things in there are we not supposed to see? We should be able to have... Not just, it's, even though it's still, it exists right now, the structure for them to be able to have one of these hearings, but they're not using it. So they do this big bill, and there's no rule to have to do it again, to say, no, every 3 years we are going to have these rate hearings. And you open the books. Open the books and show us. I mean, this has been going on for the longest time, and it's not like I'm comparing what we're paying for power against somewhere very far away. I'm talking about Georgia, another state under Southern Company. Why do we pay more than them? Just show me. I'd like to just see a regular answer to that. Maybe I'll be all wet on it. Well, Sean, you know it's the such and such thing. Oh, okay. Well, then tell me. So we'll see where... We'll see where this goes. I figure the governor's going to sign this. And now there's just going to be maybe some improvements with PSC. But the thing, one of the keystones of this is not in there. To the point, like Kyle said in the leadoff of his story, the person who brought the bill said, don't vote for it. With the changes made, don't vote for it. Tim. Sean, I can go ahead and tell you, you're not going to get in the books. They're not going to turn over any kind of accounting books. But listen, there's pragmatism and there's idealism. And Tim, I have to live in the world of both. Pragmatically, you're right, because we're seeing it right now. Idealistically, I will continue to push for it. Open the books. They aren't... It's not a mom and pop private, it's a public utility. And once again, because I'm reacting to something I saw on Facebook and I thought it was silly. They're like, well, we need to defund that. That's dumb. No. There's probably a lot of that spending that goes on that absolutely is legitimate. So we should be able to see that. If I'm the people there and I'm doing this correctly, I'd open the books and go, okay, look at them. There they are. Why'd y'all spend so much on this? Well, in fact, let me bring my, person who's over that department. Well, we had to get this done for the linemen, or we had to put in a new transmission line from Etowah County to over there. I mean, that's kind of stuff you go boom, 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 boom. And then you go, somebody like me, if I was on the PSC, I'd go, okay, that's legitimate. All right, let's go to the next page. What about this spending? Why did we do this? That's just normal people questions. It's not like... It's not like we can't ask for it. Well, and Rock and Roll Doctor says, it's a publicly traded stock. We know that. He says, it's 10Q, it's its books. It's 100, what is it? 10Q is its books. we're not seeing all the different things. Like the okay, I'll tell you what's in there. You can look at the bill saying, hey, you can't spend money on lobbyists. You know, that's been going on for the longest time. Why didn't they call that out? So you say you can't do that. Okay, that's good. But what else are you spending money on? What are they not doing in Georgia that we're doing here? Or how are they more efficient doing that in Georgia than we are here? Earl says, dang it, it sounds like your volunteer fire department. Yours too, Earl. It's just show me the books. It doesn't mean that you're, I guess the scorched earth thing I saw the other day really, you know, stuck with me because they're like, well, no, I don't want to defund it. Just show me where you're spending the dang money. All right, Pam Bondi, we can come back to that, but Pam Bondi, if you didn't hear earlier, Pam Bondi out as AG. Let's see the latest here. Now the Coconut Telegraph coming out said the president has been frustrated with the attorney general and had been considering, I don't know what the reason we're doing it, had been considering firing Bondi. Let's see. People talking about how she's a loyalist. Yeah, that's one thing, too, that there's not really anybody, I don't think, in Trump's cabinet now that wasn't a loyalist. It's different in the first Trump term, but it's not. I think you could, when they go, oh, well, they were a loyalist. Well, I think, I mean, y'all could probably, there's somebody I'm probably missing, but everybody I know that's in a cabinet position there was a Trump loyalist. This is from The Guardian, says, dismiss Pam Bondi, reshape the Justice Department, still failed to please the president, fixated on prosecuting political enemies, and frustrated with the politically explosive release of the Jeffrey Epstein files. I'm sorry, President Trump. You're upset with the release? You campaigned on that. That's one I can't give you. I cannot give you. I know there's a lot of people make constant. I can't. You campaigned on it. And then next thing I know, people like me are being told, what is with Epstein? Who cares about Epstein? Remember that? So here's a post, I guess. They got a post here from President Trump on Truth Social said, Pam Bondi is a great American patriot and loyal friend who faithfully served as my attorney general over the past year. Pam did a tremendous job overseeing a massive crackdown on crime across the country, with murders plummeting to their lowest level since 1990. We love Pam, and she will be transitioning to a much... Here we go. Here's how it works. All right, we love Pam, and she will be transitioning to a much-needed and important new job in the private sector to be announced on a date in the near future. End quote. What company, you want to take some guesses here? Where does now former Attorney General Pam Bondi go in the private sector? What company does she go to work for? You're a smart group. Think on that one. Let me know. All right. You got Todd Blanchin, who's the Deputy Attorney General. He's going to be serving until there's an official. I don't know if it'll be him, because there's a lot going out there about Lee Zeldin, who's over the EPA, but his name keeps coming up in searches out there of the story. So, yeah, Bondi out. Your thoughts on that? We'll come right back. 251-343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 152 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Good Friday Eve edition of the show. Good time to check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. What you got that the Easter Bunny can bring? Can the Easter Bunny bring cars? I know it's a big thing during Christmas. Santa brings them. Easter Bunny can bring them, too.
I need him to bring something other than chocolate, I can tell you that. we got some stuff coming. We talk about trying to find stuff for people all the time. So we got a 2025 Jeep Grand Cherokee Limited White panoramic roof, the whole deal, for a customer. Just bought it this morning, so getting transport arranged for it to get it back. Got a Honda CRV, a 14 CRV coming, a black Chevrolet Tahoe LTZ, amongst some other stuff. So inventory is really good, and we're going to hopefully have a good Easter weekend.
I like it. People have not been there before. Let's talk about coming in person, and then I tout your website too, but let's talk about the in-person. How do they find you?
Well, I'm going to say something about in-person. We have a nice place here, and I'm not bragging. Mm-hmm. Our office is a mobile home, a house. So it's three bedrooms, you know, two and a half baths. I mean, it's a nice place, and we've converted it to do what we do. It's clean. You can come in here and sit down and have a, you know, not have to feel like you're going to get grease on you. and that is at Pleasant. That's at Plantation and Highway 90 and Theodore. I mean, there's something about walking into a place that's nice, and we try to keep it that way. Plantation and Highway 90 is 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. And we are at the corner of the third red light.
Okay. If they want to check out, you know, it's actually the website's as nice as, you know, as coming in person. So the website, which has been revamped, remodeled, tell them about that.
LCMMotorCars.com. And on our cars, like we talked about the other day, all of our cars now should have a sticker on the window. So you come out, open your camera up. If we're closed or something, you want to come out here after hours, it'll take you straight to the website, straight to that car. You don't have to go look for it. You can see the Carfax, whatever you need to know.
Good stuff. All right, David, I appreciate it, man. We'll talk soon.
Have a good weekend, buddy.
Hey, you too. There goes David at LCM Motor Cars. Let me get some text here before we get in fine bomb time. Let's see. Oh, and this is good because there's several texters saying the same thing, so maybe I missed something here. Let's go to... Let me try to keep it in order, though. Jason says, I don't believe Meemaw is signing anything. It's far more likely her people are now using the Biden auto pen. Martin says, I thought Bondi was doing exactly what she was told. Joshua, Joshua said, what are the chances of Pam Bondi coming to Westmobile to rant with Jeff Sessions over Trump? She's cute. I'd try to crash that party. Hey, Pam. Joshua, I'll see what we can put you together there. All right, so unnamed texture here, and there's a couple people have said this, so this is gets my attention. Where is that? I just missed it. All right. Sean, I love you, but you're starting to sound like MSNBC. Then Scorverine says, this news break is so slanted. I think he's probably talking about me, not the news. Maybe he was from the news break before. I don't know, but maybe he's talking about me. This unnamed texter says, if I heard you correctly, you said quoted the news from The Guardian, which is not a very reliable news source talking about Pam Bondi. So that's factual. That is what that unnamed texter says. You're right with The Guardian, but this is also supported in other stories from people that aren't The Guardian. It's just, if you would see, I ought to take a picture and share, put it on social media. The number of tabs, Dalton makes fun of me too. I could crash a computer with the number of tabs I have, because I'll take a news story and I'll try to get three or four different reports on it, right? So I can go, where's that? Where's that? Try to compare and contrast. So that was just the one I had clicked on. But it's good. Do you not think it's about the upstream? I mean, the fact that he fires her, has an interim ready to go. I mean, to me, it seems like the decision was... if you were going to do this transition for another way, you would have had a little different rollout on it. And this is not the first time that, so, and by the way, you can see that kind of take on it from several news sites, even Fox News. It's definitely not where The Guardian is. So, Texture, you're correct in that. It's definitely Guardian leans left on that. But it's interesting to me because in Trump's first term, you know, he did not have all loyalists around him, and he had to learn the tough lessons of Washington on that. In this time, he has. So when he lets somebody go, I don't think it's not about loyalty to him. The people that are there in cabinet positions have been loyal to him. It is about something else. Is it because, I mean, he's complained about the Epstein stuff in the past. So is it that? And who's next? Maybe. You know, I kept saying Cash Patel, but there's obviously a lot of people the administration think he's doing a great job, so nobody's asking me. I've heard Tulsi Gabbard rumored to go on the chalk. So these are people that have been loyal to him, so there has to be something other than, hey, I had the wrong person in here who's not loyal to me. Let's see. Billy D said, I vote we the people hire Pam Bondi to investigate Alabama power rates versus other Southern companies. Ridiculous Alabama politics at its best. Keep pounding. Oh, thank you, Billy D. That's what I do. Pam Bondi's probably going to go back in her home in Florida and maybe go back. I don't know if she'll go back to work for state government there. B-Dark. What's up, B-Dark? Said, Sean, what would happen if Trump told the people take this job and shove it? You unappreciative people? Yeah. You think he'd play the song on the way out? But I don't think, no, I don't think he would, I think Trump's ever going to leave till his term's over. But it is, I think it's worth looking at the cabinet members now. The mistake Trump had made in his first term is he had people around him that were not Trump loyalists, right? Some were and some weren't. But in this incarnation, in this term, I would, please, I asked earlier, last hour, if there's somebody there that's not in a cabinet position, somebody who's in a cabinet position who's not a loyalist, let me know who they are. So it has to be about something else. Anderson and Foley said, back in the day when Biden was in office, I remember gas prices approaching $5 a gallon here locally. What was that all about? That was about policies, right? So that's even, that was policies of the Biden administration. 100%. And how long this lasts in gas prices, by the way, just a promo for tomorrow. Jay Young, who makes his living drilling oil, selling oil. A buddy of mine out of Dallas, he's going to be on the show with us tomorrow at 12:30 to talk more detail. Jason says, is Judge Jeanine in the bullpen warming up? You know, Lee Zeldin's name's been out there, but maybe, yeah, it's a Judge Jeanine on the Paul Feinbaum show on the way next. We'll do it again tomorrow at noon. Y'all have a great one.